everyone, and you join us today a little bit later than usual, but we are very much willing to discuss all things Dragon Ball here on this podcast named Up on the Lookout. Now, for those of you who don't know, Up on the Lookout is a Dragon Ball podcast with a difference. Here, we like to take a more relaxed approach to Dragon Ball. But mind you, with the latest content that we have received from Japan, it might be a little bit hard to remain relatively calm, but we shall do our best for your listening pleasure. If you do like what we have to say, please do consider following us on your podcasting platform of choice, and we'd love to hear from you in terms of feedback, as well as a cheeky follow. I am joined, as always, by my trusty sidekick, Havarok.
Hello, I'm Havarok, and I'm gotta go fast.
Yes, and I gotta go fast by saying that I am Masako X of Team 4-Star fame, but now, basically, pollute the internet with my own Dragon Ball fanfictions. We are here to discuss the latest Dragon Ball Super manga chapter, even though we are late ourselves, about a week or so, but I think we needed some time to cool off from our speculations from last week. That is chapter 84, A People's Pride.
And we are in a unique position of, you know, of releasing a discussion connected to that chapter first. So we also can address some of the arguments people have, you know, against some points we use in the discussion. So it's
absolutely. We did a discussion on the Masako X channel. If you'd like to take a look at it, just go and search for it. It's called Goku Is Not Special. And the reason why we called it that is because we just felt that as a result of this latest chapter, it throws a lot of things into doubt about Goku's legacy and journey. And even though it's still relatively ambiguous and it could easily be redeemed by Monito doing just one thing, which we'll get into a little bit later, it does really leave a lot of concerns for Dragon Ball's integrity, let's just say. I would say categorically that Chapter 84 is not as bad as it could have been. The fallout is similar to Chapter 65 with the whole Morisenzu Bean thing, but the contents aren't as bad as that. So it's sort of like one thing of that, one thing of the other. We kick things off with Chapter 84 with them all kind of listening to the end of the audio recording from Bardock Scouter, which I will admit, as I've said countless times, is a much more logical way of hearing about what happened instead of just hearing Monito just going, "Well, back in my day, it was all to do with this, and Bardock the Cool One did this, and then Bardock the Cool One did that. Oh, did I mention Bardock's really cool?" If you can't tell, Bardock has a fanboy in Monito. A very big fanboy as well. He isn't spouting loads of generic flashbacks. We at least hear straight from a reliable source in the form of Bardock Scouter. And now Goku's processing about all the things he suddenly remembers. Because I believe now in this canon that Toriyama is now wanting to include that Goku didn't hit his head. He just now can remember things that he barely remembered when he was a toddler. That's important to remember. I think they're starting to omit the whole thing of he hitting his head.
That's interesting. Like, it's not confirmed yet, but I'm not sure if I'm the biggest fan of this. Again, some people, Raditz wasn't nearly as successful as Goku. But to be quite honest, you need to remember Raditz through Dragon Ball, through the original Dragon Ball, ended up being stronger than Goku. And Goku still did some amazing things on Earth. And yeah, you can say, but it didn't work out. But every time they got into life and death situation, which was plenty, and which, again, it can explain Raditz's more careful personality. It's hard to disconnect the character from the wish right now.
I mean, the whole thing of Goku remembering he can see bits and pieces of Bardock and Gine, that's cute. I don't mind that. I don't mind any of what Goku remembers had it been its own story. If it was, if part of its own thing, like Aladdin King of Thieves was, the third Aladdin movie, that was a good thing to have it its own kind of self-contained plot. That would be really cool. Goku's own mini arc about self-discovery. Neat. And admittedly, it's nice to see some more shots of Gine, and now Goku remembering what his mother looks like. That is cute. I don't mind that. I do find it a neat touch that what Goku does see is what potentially was Bardock after coming back from fighting Gas. That was kind of a nice little connection. Then leads on, unfortunately, to the whole shoving down our face that shot of Goku leaving in the pod.
And what I find, you know, particularly like weird on, you know, on creative level is Goku being unsure of his power. And again, I saw some people telling, oh, you know, maybe he's unsure about Ultra Instinct, but it was never really addressed as much that he was super unsure. And that and that understanding of his Saiyan nature helped him in any way, you know? Like, did you, getting into this chapter, had that feeling that, oh, Goku is unsure of his abilities? Because I certainly didn't. Like, this wasn't... Goku was excited to explore new possibilities.
Yeah, I never had the moment up until the last couple of chapters where Goku had doubts in his skills. That's the point, is that he was always excited to challenge new people, figure out his power even more so. Like, I always felt like he had a good grasp of it, but never to the point where, like, oh, well, I've never had total faith. I'm like, what? You're the living embodiment of confidence. Like, really? Was that all an act? Because that just makes me think, were you just playing everybody? Or just putting up a front? Really? And then just afterwards with Vegeta just going like, oh no, I've lost sight. My burden isn't the sin of all Saiyans, it's our people's pride. It's just, as we said in our discussion, what does that even mean anymore? It's just noise now.
Again, we might be misunderstanding that. We might be, you know, there might be something that we just do not get, but again, in its current state, it just what it is. Like, oh, I've come to a couple of different conclusions looking at how they were treating the Vegeta story, and that's kind of sad, because like, to me, it was a story of Vegeta, you know, becoming independent from his burdens, and this feels a little bit progressive, that oh, be pride about be proud you know, about being a Saiyan because you are a Saiyan, TLDR.
Yeah. It did feel like it was going backwards, because when he was training with Beerus, I liked the fact that he was aware of the sins of the Saiyans and realizing that they weren't all that special and they weren't all that, you know, noble. It felt good that he was aware of that, but now it's just like, oh, okay, never mind, no, I should be proud of that. Or is it being proud of another aspect of Saiyanhood? You don't know. It's not really explained, but, you know, it does feel like Goku going, you know what? I learned something today. A people's pride isn't about atoning for sins of the past, and I ain't talking about revenge. It's all about accepting your nature and sticking to your convictions, as in like, yeah, just accept what you have and own it. I mean, granted, that sounds kind of okay, but it's just like, remember, the Saiyans aren't exactly noble people. They're not. They're a bunch of fighting mercenaries, really.
Yeah, and it's saying, oh, you know, Granola, you should have accepted as without anything, even though, you know, you have some bad experiences and you're deeply traumatized. Because, like we like to make fun of Granola's hatred from Saiyan, but this poor guy is pretty traumatized.
Yeah, he's been through a lot, as we've seen now. And mind you, it didn't help that he had indirectly killed his mother.
Can you really blame, like, you know, like a little child for panicking? You know how it is.
In this instance, yes. After all the stuff that we'd had to listen to him going, it's the Saiyans must die!
Oh, of course he does, but like, if he goes from that to, oh, Saiyans are awesome, like, they still slaughtered his people.
Hopefully he doesn't do that, but he can realize that not all Saiyans are bad.
Yeah, like if he and Monaito will start wearing Saiyan, I love Saiyan t-shirts after this saga, I will like go insane.
Yeah, if he suddenly does a complete 180, that's ridiculous. But he should at least be like less judgmental about every single Saiyan.
The lesson should be, oh, you shouldn't waste your life on revenge because you lose sight of what do you have, which kind of connects to some of the stuff we've been talking about. But like, but at the same time, you also need to be aware that some people will have, you know, some really bad experiences. Like again, it got so muddled, and we talked about this before. Did they like expanded the ending because the movie was late? Like, it cannot be the thing, because like this seems to be to drag on and on and on and on and on and on and like losing that pretty good pacing that the 2/3 of the story had.
Yeah, it really did. And I do get the sneaking suspicion that maybe before they announced the delay, they told Toyotaro and Toriyama, hey, we need to delay this maybe for a few months. Do you think you can come up with something to pass the time? Because I think it would have been a natural ending point of the saga, or at least wrapping it up in April.
Especially that they were talking about this, right? That they are, we are close to the ending. And they were like talking about this in what, February, January?
So now it just feels like, okay, we've dragged it out a couple more months to further explain the fact that, oh, the ultimate MacGuffin here is Saiyan Pride, and that Goku and Vegeta can't give up and stuff like that. The only thing that's really going for Granola right now is the fact that Gas isn't bothered about him anymore. He just wants to kill the Saiyans and then go. So Granola's gotten out of it. So now it's just a case of like, okay, I'm going to fight these monkeys and I really don't give a hoot about my old rival anymore.
And again, I saw some people like going like, I have to give a point for that, oh, you know, like Granola may be doing a Goku who can be out for like a large portion of the saga and return for the final battle. And that's a fair point.
Yeah, that's totally true. I mean, it does seem like that the saga right now is leading up to the three of them fighting together against Gas. So at the very least, it's heading towards that, hopefully. It really doesn't feel like it's just going to be a Goku victory solely, especially with what we do see towards the end of the chapter, but we'll talk about that shortly. But either way, we're kind of just getting through into the main battle itself. And I think the main thing that we do need to say is that the battle itself between Goku, Vegeta, and Gas, it's a good one. It's well articulated. That shot of Ultra Instinct and Ultra Ego powering up is very, very good. It's a very intense one, and I imagine it will look very cool. And that they just, like, go straight into the battle and are able to kind of just go toe-to-toe. It's good. Toyotaro is definitely improving.
I mean, I mean, he is improving. He's still being put to shame by fan artists, but he is improving.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, there are things that, you know, you have to stick to the stereotypes and the traditions of the Dragon Ball Saga composition. You can't just go from one style you had in one chapter to something completely different, because that just breaks the guidelines. And I doubt that the editors would be okay with that. You have to kind of experiment here or there with certain compositions, kind of edging out towards, yeah, breaking out of the boxes in some way. So you sort of have to slowly progress in this field. I don't think you can suddenly change the composition in one go.
I like those little subtle, well, not subtle, but like the way how, the way that Oil and Maki are calling the forms, like.
Oh yeah, no, that was funny. The super duper instinct, yeah.
Oil and Maki bothered to remember Goku's and Vegeta's names, which is really interesting in the world when you have so many dismissive villains that wouldn't even bother to do that. Like, that's cute.
Yeah, it is pretty cute. And I feel like eventually it could lead to, maybe them surviving Oil and Maki. Gas isn't going to make it. I get that feeling that he won't make it. He'll maybe try and redeem himself, but I imagine probably maybe Elex got some kind of insurance policy. Say, for example, like if Gas turns on him or something like that, he can easily escape. Because there was an errand that Elex had to take care of earlier in the saga. We don't know what that is. So that might come into play either in the next one or the one after that.
Yeah. And we don't know what Gas sacrificed for the wish.
Elec did that wish on his behalf, so I don't think Gas knows the exact machinations of the wish. All he knows is that his brother wished for him to become stronger. That's all he knows. So it could easily be something he finds out to his detriment, or he finds out that his brother screwed him over. And that's very unfortunate. But it'll all be part of his tragic kind of ending. And that ultimately, Gas, he's not really deserving of his status as one of the strongest in the universe. He's a tool. And we discussed this in a discussion a couple of months back about why we think Gas is not going to be remembered. Like, in a couple of years' time, are you going to remember without prompting Gas? You might remember Granola. You might. Maybe. Gas, though, you might need your mind jogged a bit to remember him.
I enjoy Gas as an opponent. He's not like a giant, you know, bombastic villain like we used to, but like he's a competent supporting villain.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. He's not a main lead, as in he's slowly gaining the personality. But the fact that we saw that flashback in its entirety has sort of given the game away about what's going to happen. Ultimately, Gas is going to get frustrated and go, "Why are you continuing to fight, even though you're weaker than me?" And as I've said quite a lot of times, we just want to win. We've remembered our Saiyan heritage, and I'm just going to keep going. Yeah, Saiyan pride. Basically, we're just going to win no matter what. I'm a Saiyan. I'm a gonna win.
Oh, Mr. Vegeta, can Granola Saiyan pride too? Of course, you can Saiyan pride too.
Because he feels it in his gut. Because he was his past was influenced by Saiyan. So now he can experience the pride as well through proxy.
And you can too with our new Saiyan pride merchandise.
You like Saiyans, right? Yes, you can experience the pride too because you like us. There you go. Ultimately, again, Saiyan pride to us is just like static to me now. It's just like, what does it even mean? Like, it just reminds me of all the old game quotes, like whenever you do like a technique in Tenkaichi, Vegeta going, "The Saiyans are a proud warrior race. Do not underestimate us," and stuff like that. You know, it's just that hit going, "This is the stats," or something like that, or what it's in Fighters or something. It just becomes, you don't even register it anymore. Ultra Ego Vegeta. This is where, and I've said this countless times, and it may have been if Frieza decided to get involved, where we'd see, oh, this is Ultra Ego Vegeta, and we get to see it as it was intended. Like, against Granola, Vegeta didn't go all out because he started to feel sorry for Granola. He could see a lot of himself in Granola, and he didn't want that. But now, though, with Gas, he doesn't care. He doesn't care. He wants to win. He's now got the bit between his teeth. And this is where I think Ultra Ego Vegeta will ultimately be the strongest character in the series, at least for the moment. I don't think Master Ultra Instinct Goku is quite there, because as I said in my strongest characters of 2022, I feel that Goku's at the beginning of his Ultra Instinct journey, as Whisa said, that, "Oh, you've got a long way to go, Goku. Where you are, you're right at the bottom." As in, like, that's the thing. And now it's like, "Oh, man, I've got a whole echelon of powers to unlock? Awesome." Because he's pretty much exhausted the Super Saiyan roster now. But the Vegeta? Ultra Ego Vegeta is limitless. Like, sure, you might get mastered Ultra Ego, where the power gain is even more, and you don't have to get yourself injured as much to attain more power. But essentially, Vegeta's now a dynamo. As in, he's just going to keep getting stronger and stronger and stronger. His body may be broken, but he's going to keep going. And that's just going to freak Gas out at this point. Like, you see it right at the end of the chapter. "What trick is this? How is your body still moving?" And it's like, "Damage is nothing but fuel for me. Do you realize what this means? I'm only getting stronger. Grrr."
If there is one great thing, in my opinion, about this chapter, it's Ultra Ego.
The look has grown on me now. It's not as jarring as it was.
This first frame was pretty unfortunate.
Yeah, I don't think it was the best first frame to demonstrate this new technique. It does look really cool with battle damage.
It looks very cool with, like, those manic eyes, let's say.
I think this is the closest to getting Super Saiyan 3 Vegeta that you're going to get. Because, I mean, if you think about it, like, people wanted Vegeta to get Super Saiyan 3. What were they going to expect? Like, he's going to get those brows. Them brows. It's Super Saiyan 3 brows without the long hair. So why are you like dissing on it? I did find it interesting that I think in Toriotaro's notes for this chapter, he apologized for the fact that, oh, I'm so sorry. I forgot Vegeta's ear clips. I'm really sorry. I forgot to draw them sometimes. I mean, okay. All right. Well, fair enough. But you remember that you forgot Bardock's tail. But to be fair, in chapter 80, but at least he managed to retcon that with saying, it got cut off.
Yeah, but he needs to regrow it before the Broly movie, which is like another confusing thing.
Oh yeah, that reminds me. Going back to the flashback with Gine, he doesn't have that tail. He doesn't have it when he gets back. But when you see that first shot of Gine tending to Bardock's wounds, his butt is conveniently right by the panel border, so you can't see it. But then when he leaves again, he can't see the tail. But then when you get to the moment where they're taking Goku out and putting him on the ship, Bardock has his tail again. So it has grown back. So fortunately, it has been addressed. So just need to point that out. But the overall chapter itself wasn't terrible. It was good. And we got to see Ultra Ego now really showing what it can do. That was really cool. And I will say that I mentioned this in my main review. I feel that Toyotaro and the marketing team and the editors are now aware of all the vitriol and venom that comes out with the drafts and the leaks. And I feel like now they're deliberately stoking the anger of the Dragon Ball fandom in the West.
Oh, yeah, because in a way, the anger builds some sort of interest, I guess.
Oh, yeah, they're totally aware now. I feel like initially they probably found the leaks very inconvenient and annoying, but now they're going, well, wait a minute. There's nothing really we can do to stop these leaks. But what if we game them? So let's pick and choose the drafts that we use that are more likely to provoke a reaction. And now, sure enough, oh, boom, it worked. Oh, wow. Okay. So I just feel like, folks, you got to be careful here. You can't let these people get to you. You got played. Just wait until the chapter comes out. Wait until then before you cast a judgment. We've seen this so many times now where people see the drafts or the leaks and go like, this is the worst chapter ever. And then a week later, they're eerily quiet when they find out the full context. Oh, then they realize what happened and then they kind of feel small. But then it happens all over again.
And we can be totally wrong about the wish thing that you know, grinds our gears. Like, I think it's healthy to return to it for a moment because, again, we've been talking about this briefly on our roundtable, but just to give our explanation, like, I feel that the stronger connection you have with the original Dragon Ball, the more miffled about the whole thing you will be. If you don't mind it, all power to you. Like, it doesn't make you less credible of a person in our eyes. Like, after all, we are like talking heads from the internet, right? It makes the whole original saga, where arguably, even despite the Dragon Ball's existence, the stakes were the highest, it puts a lot of things into question, and you can question a lot of things.
Yeah, people may say that we're being unfair for the last few chapters, but the thing is, though, we came from a really positive slate with the Granola saga, we really did. So to see it kind of crash like this just makes it all the more galling. That we're not mad, we're just disappointed. And that is conveyed in our reviews, that we feel that, oh no, I mean, this could have easily been resolved with Granola owning his new power and then trying to like spin it on like being the one to stop Gas and then coming to terms with what he has left, you know? Or Monaito making the ultimate sacrifice and giving up his remaining life energy to fuel Granola's power and come back and then do a resounding victory with the Saiyans giving the assist. That part might still continue on to be good. And there is still always the hope. And I know that we were talking about don't play yourself. We might be played. But at the moment, we are seeing the full context of the chapter. But who knows? The wish that we may have heard may not have been carried out. But so far, Monito has not really kind of given us any other means to think otherwise.
Maybe, you know, maybe he doesn't want to Goku to know, which is a reasonable thing. Like, oh, I don't want to, the son of Bardock to hear that. Oh, I kind of failed his father.
A lot of this angst could have been avoided if they just wished for Muesli to be revived.
Yeah, but again, we don't know. We don't know if Toronbo can revive, or, you know, like, on the other hand, like, we are used for Dragon Balls to revive people. Like, if you don't know that a reviving magical wishing granting orbs exist, I don't know if ever, like if even, if, you know, Bardock could even grasp the concept that, oh, you can wish somebody back from the dead. Like, it's not ultimate, you know, like we know that as audience, but like, to Bardock, this could be like something that he couldn't even begin to grasp and imagine.
Yeah, I guess
because again, like not all Dragon Balls luckily became the glorified respawn tools. So here I can defense Monito and Bardock and again we don't know. We don't know, like, what Toronbo's limitations are. Like, so far, Toronbo seems the most OP of the dragons, but, like, I wish that at the end of the chapter there would be a longer explanation of that, because, like, because it's an interesting concept, right? Like, the monkey's paw dragon.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be really cool at the end of the saga where Toyotaro and Toriyama talk about Toronbo, or they get asked a question about them, and they're like, oh, well, how does he work? And stuff like that. Toronbo, I think, as we can grasp, is a dragon who can give you any wish, provided you have a condition. But what can he do without a condition? Like, unconditional wishes, what can he do?
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, we just have to wait and see. But either way, chapter 84, overall, as a chapter itself, it was okay, but it did kind of leave a couple of sour tastes in our mouths with a couple of elements that were in it, and one that basically should just remind you folks, do not get your knickers in a twist about drafts or leaks. It's a nice little bonus to have, but do not put all your eggs in that basket until you get the actual chapter. So folks, wait until it comes out via Viz or Manga Plus. Don't rely on leaks or spoiler videos, please. Just wait until you get the full thing and make a judgment call for yourself. Either way, that brings us to another end of this Up on the Lookout podcast. Have thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much. It's pleasure as always.
And thank you out there for listening. If you like what you heard, do give us a follow on your podcasting platform of choice. It really helps us get out to more Dragon Ball fans out there. And we shall see you again very soon for another edition of the podcast. So until then, we hope that you're well, and we look forward to seeing you again. Ta-ra!
Bye.